I'm going to read you a few scriptures, and I'm going to let you sit down, and then I'm going to ask you a question. James chapter 1, yeah, James, get ready, buckle up, book of James. How many people have read the book of James? How many people think it's there? Why can't you be more like to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world? You can go ahead and be seated. I just want to talk to you for just a few minutes because I made a connection in these scriptures this week that I had never really made before, Darren. I didn't understand the connection between verse 26 and verse 27 so well. He tells us that if any man seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, he deceives his own heart. So he's talking about bridling your tongue. Who do you think is the sweetest, kindest person in this room? Who in here thinks you are the sweetest, kindest person in this room? Doug, come to the altar just right now. Just come on up here. Repent. When I was thinking about this, I kind of went through our congregation. And I know everybody pretty decent, I think. And how many people think that Natalie, you came to my mind. How many people think Natalie is just so sweet, kind? Most people. do you know anybody? Josh knows her on a different level, so it's a little unfair. I've never in my life seen her mad. I've seen her sad, but I've never seen her angry. Never seen her yell. Never seen her scream. I don't even know if she can scream. Josh said yes. You know what's amazing about how many people think the most harsh person in this room? How many people think you are? Raise your hand. Yeah, there you go. I appreciate your honesty. There's a couple of y'all. Let me read you a few more scriptures and this will make sense. James chapter 3 says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man," meaning mature man, "and able also to bridle the whole body." Do you see what's going on here? James is on a theme here, and he's saying this. If you can bridle your tongue, you can bridle your whole body. So people come up and they say, "I have a problem." It's so interesting. I can just say this. Bridle your tongue. Well, the tongue's not the problem. Yeah, it is, because if you can bridle your tongue, you can bridle your whole body. "Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. "So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." Those are some strong words about your tongue. Now, if you've ever said, "I just told him and I don't even care," these words should prick your heart, because our tongue is extremely important in our walk with God. It controls the way we go. Amen? All right, "For every kind of beast and of bird and of serpents, of everything in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue," this is amazing, "we've tamed every beast." We have tamed, he said, every beast has been tamed by man. "But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God." Do you see the danger in this? Verse 10, out of the same mouth proceeding blessing and cursing, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh water. So no man can tame the tongue. Even as sweet as Natalie is, she cannot tame her tongue. Now you can say amen, Josh. No. And as some of you guys raised your hand and said you was the rudest, is that what I said? What I asked? Harsh. You're harsh. The heart, you can't tame your tongue either. So we have a problem. The problem is this. We need to tame our tongue, but we can't tame our tongue. Have you ever tried to tame your tongue? Amen. Have you ever said, we use this term, you need to bite your tongue. What does bite your tongue mean? I'm going to tell you what it means. It means that thing's getting ready to get loose, and they're telling you to clamp down on it to stop it. The average person says 12,000 to 15,000 words a day. I know there's some people in here above average. And in the middle of all of those words, you know what's at the center of it all? The tongue. Everything you say, the tongue is right in the center of everything we say. So he's given us a lesson here. And then after he gives the lesson about the tongue, he goes into how we should treat widows. And I didn't make the connection until this week. Why would he go into, this is the problem, and what true, that man's not religious. If a man seemed to be religious, how good of a fabricator are you? How good are you at being a little fake? Now this I'm not condemning you, because I'm guilty sometimes when the whole world's falling apart and somebody says, how's this going? Great. I'm good. Everything's good. Anybody ever done that? And I know we've been taught to be positive and to speak by faith. But there are times, Doug, when it's all falling apart, I just don't want them to know that I don't have it together as much as I seem to have it together. And sometimes I'm guilty as well. There have been times when I did not bridle my tongue. It happened just yesterday. Not today, yesterday. I was studying this and I had to be careful today. I'm sure I messed it up today too. But there has been times when my tongue has got me in trouble. There's been times I've said things. And how many times have you ever said something you followed up with, I'm just joking? No, I was just kidding. When you wasn't kidding. I'm just kidding. Because the tongue has on it the power of life and death. A few verses before this, he tells us to be quick to hear, but to be slow to speak. Some of us are not slow to speak at all. And the problem with that is it's getting in the way of what God is ordaining us to do and to walk in. Sam brought a bridle. Show him the bridle, Sam. Sam's a horse guy. Anybody here horse people? Raise your hand if you're horse people. Brittany's the horse people. Stand up. I want you to show us how this works on Jason. Better yet, Doug, come up here. Yeah, you're come up here. If we really put this in his mouth, this is the first time his tongue will ever be bridled. Don't do it. Now let me tell you something. It's not natural. And if we really try to do this, odds are he's going to resist. Brittany, you're the horse lady. How many horses resist the bridle? A lot? Frequently. Because they don't want that in their mouth. And let me tell you why they don't want it in their mouth. Because once this is in his mouth and the tongue is bridled, you know what he loses? Amen. He loses control. And how many people like to be in control? Remember, that's my issue with being on an airplane. When I'm on an airplane, Darren, I don't think you have this problem because you sat over there. And I mean, this thing, and the whole time, I'm wondering who's flying this thing. Because I know how it works at the mines. There's really good miner men, and then there's the guy that can kind of run it. Amen? I know how it works in our business. There's really good loader men, and then there's other guys that can just, and I think I'm a pretty good highwall miner operator. And I think there's some guys that I combine better than. So every time I get on a plane, I'm like, is he me or is he the backup? I want to be in control. I don't like to be doubled on a four-wheeler. I don't like anybody else driving. I don't like that feeling because once, listen to this, once we bridle our tongue, you know what we lose? We lose control. Now, here you go. Let's pretend for like you can just give it to him. Just give it to him. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to bridle yourself, and then I want you to control yourself. Yeah, that's good. Just hang it on there. That looks good. Looks good. Now we'll tie some weight around it and you start going like this and work on them traps. All right. Let's say that it's in your mouth. Now reach back. Take your rope. You got no flexibility no more. He's still not going to be able to really make it move. No man can bridle his own tongue. No man, not even Natalie, no man can bridle his own tongue. So what is he telling us? He's telling us that once we give our tongue to him, someone else takes over the control, and then you're not in control anymore. You can't bridle, you can't control it, but there's a God who wants to take the reins and control your lips. I know this is simple, but there's something to this. All right, thank you, Doug. You look nice, then. You look good. When the bit gets in the mouth, I've read that when you have a horse that doesn't want to take a bit, they'll put honey on it. Or they'll put something sweet on it to try to make. And man, I'm telling you right now, if we've not done this with people, tried to make every, listen, do this, do that, it'll be so good, it'll be so good, it'll be good for you. And we try to make it so sweet, and we try to make it, and you know what? Sometimes it don't matter how sweet you tried to make it. The problem is, it's not about trying to make this gospel to where everybody makes it's tasteful, because sometimes there are some things in the gospel that aren't tasteful. We taught this a couple weeks ago. You have to eat the whole lamb. You just don't get the lamb chops. He said, eat the whole lamb. And sometimes it's not as tasteful. But I do know this. When you give him the reins, God is going to do something with you that you can never do through yourself. And it starts with our tongue. It's the small member. It's a very small member. But this small thing can control ships. It can control all the things. It's amazing how your tongue can turn you. I have been around some toxic people in my life. Toxic people. I went to work in a good mood, and I got around them. And it wasn't a few hours later. I was like, yeah, this place is horrible, and I hate everybody, and I'm ready to quit. You know what I'm talking about. What did they do? They put a potion on me? No, all they did was talk to me. And that talk began to change my whole attitude about everything. We've talked about this before. I'm going to share it with you again. Dustin, do you remember the times we would ride to work together and one of us would be in a bad mood? And one of us, and it was kind of fun because when the other one was, we would say, you know, we're really blessed. we're going down the road and I'm complaining and I'm sick of this and I'm sick of that. And then he'd go, we're really blessed. And you know what's crazy about saying that? We are really blessed. It changed my whole, I was like, I know. I shouldn't be complaining. I should. Kind words turn away wrath. I've testified about this before. I remember one time in particular, my wife was upset at me. And she kept saying things. And I was like, I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to say anything. And I just kept being sweet. And I heard her on the phone. I think it was with your sister. And she made this statement. She said, I'm trying to be mad at him, but he won't let me. That happened once in her whole career of marriage. But that one time was awesome. Because kind words will turn away wrath. What will faith words do? What will power words do? What will truth do? If I can get this tongue in subjection to God, then things will begin to change, because out of this fountain will come not bitter water, but will come sweet water. And then when the water begins to flow out of the children of God, when we bridle, oh, it's not, well, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Nobody wants a piece of your mind. As a matter of fact, God doesn't want a piece of your mind. You know how I know? He said, present your body a living sacrifice. No, nowhere in there does he ask for my mind. As a matter of fact, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He wants me to surrender my body and make sure that I have his mind. Because if I have his mind, I will have his words. If I have his words, the word is the power. There is power in the word of God. So he goes on to say, if a man seemed to be religious, give me my definition, Shane. You see this? Religious means fearing or worshiping God. To cry aloud, to make a noise or an outcry by outcry. It's a very vocal worship. He's saying, if a man seems to be religious, if he seems to be a worshiper, but if he can't bridle his tongue, his religion is in vain. I want to insert this into your thought today. He is writing to believers. He's not writing. Now notice, it didn't say if a man seemed to be saved. He said, if a man seems to be religious, if a man seems to be an external worshiper. Some people they worship inside. You ever seen them? You ever seen people worship inside? You don't even know they're worshiping because it's inside. And other people are out worshiping. He said, if a man he seems to be like he's worshiping God and he's loud about it. He said, if this man can't bridle his tongue, his outer worship is in vain. Means that it is null and void. That's how important us bridling our tongue is. Because our tongue can cancel our worship. Shane, I'm glad you have my verse up there today. Because a couple of Sundays ago, I text Shane and I said, hey, I need my this definition. Do y'all remember this? And when I was preaching, he didn't have my definition up there. And I said, man, the tech team has let me down. And I got home. Was it later that day? Next day? Thanks, Shane. Makes me look worse. The next day, I thought about what I said. And I was like, man, that wasn't cool. So I either texted you or called him. And I said, hey, man, I'm sorry about that. I shouldn't have did that. And I said, I love you, buddy. You're a blessing to me. Is that what I said? See, I got to patch this up. Make my. I said, man, you're so awesome. I did not. Because my heart bothered me because I did not bridle my tongue. Now, here's the problem. The next verse says, let's go back to that, verse 27. I want you to watch this. I'm almost done. pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in what? In what? In what? Say a little bit louder. In their affliction. It didn't say just go by and see the fatherless and the widows. It said go see them in their affliction, when they're down, when they can't do anything for you, when they can't give you anything back. Do you follow this? What he's saying is, a mature believer, this is what real religion is, it's selfless. It's not looking for something in return. What that means is, when I don't bridle my tongue, I'm being the opposite of selfless. I'm being selfish. So I went through this sermon and I thought about the interaction with me and Shane, and I said, how was I being selfish by saying my tech team let me down? I'm going to tell you how I was being selfish. I didn't want y'all to think that I wasn't ready. I didn't want y'all to think that I hadn't studied and sent it in. It wasn't my fault. And I was concerned about the way y'all would think about me. And I know this is minor, but this gets bigger. It gets a whole lot bigger. Because, Shane said, it ain't minor. Keep preaching, boy. Because we say things. There's been a lot of times that me and my wife, listen, I love my wife. I love her to death. She is awesome. And you know what? She's one of the most honest people I know. Even about my sermons. How was preaching? Sometimes I write it off. I'm like, she wasn't paying attention. Sometimes I say, I seen you back at the grandbaby. Your opinion don't matter. It's null and void. But sometimes she's just zoned in and she goes, it's all right. You shouldn't have said this or you shouldn't have said that. And here's the issue. I take that to heart because I'm guilty too. I'm guilty of not bridling my tongue. And you know what we miss? We miss the true blessing of God. Because the bridle is about, it's about control. And the only way that I'm going to be able to stop that is to give the reins to Him. Even when it's not sweet and honey-coated. So he tells us, go find somebody to do something for that can't do something in return. Go find somebody. Because if we're not careful, we'll run around and claim salvation, but we'll be some of the most selfish people on the planet. It is very easy to be selfish. It's very easy. Me and my four, shut the door, let it pour. Good Lord. It's easy for us to get in our little spot and worry about just us and not worry about anybody. When's the last time? And I'm going to preach on us. I'm preaching on me too. I've already confessed all my sins this year. That's him. That's all. I've already done my confession. When is the last time you have sought someone out and done something for them, and they can't do anything for you in return? That's pure religion. That religion is not in vain. This is why, and this all made sense this week. Mike, you know what drives me crazy? When churches go out and do something for the community, # feeding the poor, # giving to our community, # puke. That's my # puke. # watch me go. # look here. Look at me. # You've already got your reward. You've already got your reward. He said, go out and do something. No, you don't get nothing in return for it. You will, but God's watching you. God's going to take care of you. God's going to bless you. He said, I was in prison and you didn't visit me. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. They said, when have we done this to you? He said, when you've done this to the least of these, you've done it unto me. So we need to seek somebody out that we can do something for And when we do something for them, we do it in his name. Now listen, the only way we're going to do this is if we yield to the Spirit. Have you ever felt the Spirit leading you to do something and you didn't do it? Let me tell you, you really missed out. He's trying to pull. The problem is you won't bridle your tongue because what we say carries into what we do. Listen really careful. Talk defeat, you'll be defeated. Talk defeat, you'll be defeated. Talk disease, you'll be sick. Talk deliverance, you'll be delivered. Why is that so important? Because God wants to control us. I've been around people and it makes me so nervous. It makes me so nervous when people claim Christianity, but they don't talk like a Christian. And you look at them, you say, your speech is betraying you. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth runneth. That's not the verse. It speaketh. But we sometimes feel like we are vindicated by saying things. Hey, listen, Christians say hateful things. Some of us in here have said, what in the world happened there? Some of us in here have said really hateful things to people. Is that Christ-like? Well, I'll tell you right now, preacher, Jesus took a whip. One time in Scripture, Jesus took a whip into the temple. And we think that's his everyday life. Jesus walked around with whips, just beating everybody. That's not how he worked. You know what he spoke? Love and forgiveness and kindness. But listen, you can't do this on your own. And let me teach you something real fast. Have you ever had a brother or sister in Christ talking to you and they go to say something and they stop? Has anybody ever had this happen? They'll go, you know what I was thinking? Never mind. No, you can't do that to me. What was it? I had some gossip, but I'm just going to leave it alone. No, you definitely can't do it now. Come on, let me hear it. The Spirit's over there trying to stop them, and you're over there, spit that bridle out. Let me hear it. Let it flow. Spit that thing out, and come on. This is God trying to stop them and turn them so that we don't destroy people. Do you know it's so easy to murder your brother? You know how you murder your brother? With what? With your tongue. Hey, guess what? You know how easy it is to encourage your brother? Nothing will cool your jets faster than when you're on fire and you run into a cold brother. Man, I got this idea, man. God's really going to do something great. We tried that before and it didn't work. I thought you was on my side. Tell you what I want to do, man. I want to have a revival, and I'm going to do it like this, man. I'm so excited. Yeah, they did that one time down there, and it fell flat. Yeah. But when we allow God to speak through us, pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, to help people that can't do anything back for us. And guess what? You don't get to talk about it. Okay? You don't get the glory out of it. You don't get to tell everybody that you did it. Could you imagine this? Seeing the widow. I know preachers that go to the hospital to pray for people and they stage pictures beside of them. Can I say that again? Let me say it like this. Hashtag puke. If I'm going to go in the hospital room and I'm going to pray for somebody, I don't need you to take it. Get my good side. I know a preacher that he looked at the picture and he said, no, let's do it again. Went back. It didn't look good enough. It wasn't. What are we trying to do? Man, if we love God and we really want to be in his presence, man, we've got to be selfless, not selfish. Come on, Josh, we're going to sing a song. I don't know what you sing after this. Natalie is kind. But even she is mouthy. I don't know. How do you How do you title that? The only way to do it is give him control. You got, what, two more work days this week? Some of us three? When you get up tomorrow morning, I want you to do this. I want you to try this. You ready? You ready for this? Pray and say, God, I'm giving you the bridle. Control my tongue. God, let life and let that river flow through the words that I say today. God, use me to be a witness so that you can do something through me today. Find somebody that you can do something for that can't do anything in return. You know, Jason, I don't know if I'm allowed to do this, but I'm going to. And then if I need to ask for forgiveness, I will. No, that's not the way I should approach that. Is it wrong to be proud of parishioners if you're the pastor? Okay, I'll do it like this. I got it. Got it figured out. I want to repent. There are people in this church that minister to elderly people every other week. And I've never seen them post anything about it. They don't say anything about it. After church on Sunday, they leave. They don't say anything to us. Nobody even knows where they're going. And they go minister to people that can't really do anything in return. And I know they say, no, they bless me. They bless me. And I understand that. I understand that. That's pure religion. That's pure religion. It's not an outward, showy outburst when you can't be selfless. But it's being selfless and allowing God to be your reward. Why am I telling you this? Because our church is about to explode. And good things are happening. Good things are happening. I've had people come to church here, and they said, I didn't have a place to sit. And so I sat down in a spot, and somebody came up to me and said, that's my seat. Can you move? A visitor. And I said, they must have been a visitor too. Doug's back there going, what me? What me? Not this thing. Hey, that's my seat. Could you move? Could you move? I came to Sunday school and everything. This one's mine. How good of a witness you think that is? How good of a witness do you think that is? A couple Sundays ago, can I tell Mike, a couple Sundays ago, he was sitting down there on the end in a folding chair. I said, man, sorry you got to sit over. He said, I'm good, man. This is just awesome. This is just awesome. To look across, see all the people. Man, it's just awesome. It's awesome. What kind of spirit do we have? What kind of language are we speaking? Man, just God, bridle it. Bridle it. Take it. Take control of it. Where I don't have to say what I think every single time. Where I don't have to be the man and stand up. But where I yield to the Spirit of God. If you learned something tonight, stand up. If you already knew it all, just stay sitting. I want to be a better witness. I want to crucify my flesh and be a better witness. Darren, I'm saved. This ain't about salvation. It's about pure religion. Would you take your hand and put it on your chest and pray for you as they sing? Would you just pray for you right now? Not the person beside you. Would you just pray for you and say, God, help me. God, remind me. Allow your Spirit to bring this to my remembrance. When I go to step up, Lord, when I go to show them who I am, catch me, God, so that I can show them who you are. If you're a believer in this room, somebody's watching you. Somebody's watching you. Striving to be a better witness. I know this is simple, but man, this is important. Good, Josh, would you sing? Anybody need prayer tonight for any reason? We want to pray with you before you leave. We know that God is able.